boycott against Christ. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Inasmuch as we have taken into consideration the matter of establishing an airstrip in the behalf of Mercy Aaron's and lost humanity, and in that it has been seemingly contested by the public in the manner that it has, I would like to say this to all that were present at the meeting and to all that are concerned. I am fully aware of the meaning and results of council and conference, having taken part in numerous legislative acts. I realize that these decisions can bring forth real inspiration or real disappointment, even unto bitterness. Therefore, being fully aware of such a gathering and its purposes, one who is presenting a petition or judging a situation should be very conscientious, diligently seeking ways and means by which he can establish truth and justice. If, before such a council convenes, men have already predetermined in their hearts and minds the answers before the matter has had proper discussion or consideration, it then becomes very evil in the sight of God, for we are commanded of him that we should use righteous judgment. God alone is the only one in a position with authority or power to command us, in that Abraham referred to him as the judge of all the earth. Therefore, shall not all the judges of men's matters judge accordingly, and that without selfishness, and render decision without hope of monetary gain, and do this without fear or favor? Now there is but one way that is known to mankind whereby we can establish truth. Therefore, having need of a book or guideline which we can use as an absolute, I know of no such authoritative or parliamentary power or anything that is within the reach of mankind that is mutually agreed upon and that is accepted by humanity other than the Bible. By use of this book, while we differentiate between truth and error, we can establish facts and avoid human theory. Although there may be in the land today great theologians, whereas in many instances their theses may be feasible and can be greatly appreciated, there is no intelligence with any living human being throughout the universe that renders an equality that is even compatible to the Word of God. Inasmuch as we know that at the great white throne of judgment, we must all answer to God Almighty for every deed done in the body. Therefore, we should be very careful. We are told in the Holy Scriptures that he will judge us according to our words, that by our words we shall be justified or we shall be condemned, and that the hidden secrets of men's hearts shall be made manifest at his presence. We must remember one thing concerning our national liberties or concerning international liberties. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Our forefathers, such as Washington and Lincoln, the great dignitaries and statesmen of old, founded this country on godly and biblical principles. And likewise Jesus, having been born in a manger, scorned by the celebrities, yet he established, by means of the Jewish nation, the eternal and unchanging principles of government for mankind and for the entire universe. And he has risen above every celebrity, having received immortal fame and power. It was said unto him by the heavenly Father, Thou lovest righteousness, and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. It is Christ within you, the hope of glory. If we have not the spirit of truth and judgment, we are told that we are none of his. He told them that they who rejected the truth were of their father the devil, who is the prince of the powers of the error of this world, who has, in his time, interrupted the entire system of mankind. Whereas we know of a truth that at Christ's coming, the government, the laws, and the function of the world order shall be completely eradicated from this earth. As he sits upon the throne of David, all forms of government shall be utterly consumed as he brings into existence his new order and as he establishes, in proper position, great celebrities and statesmen who are concerned about mankind, commissioning them to an eternal purpose after his own pleasure. First of all, in seeking a landing strip, it would take a little time before this could mature, in that sufficient land and preparation for the benefit and protection of everyone involved must be considered. In complying with all the rules and regulations for godly and lawful reasons, we want to be very sure that no harm or danger will come to the community or to the others involved. Concerning those that are in objection, recently, one of the people that signed the petition came to a brother here, stating that the petition that was presented by the person was misrepresented when it was presented to her. The individual that signed the petition was under the impression that the church was going to be torn down and replaced by an airport. Therefore, the person's objections were that the church should not be torn down. Someone, who at this present time is opposing this airstrip, previously indicted us in the eyes of the health department concerning property sanitation. After thorough examination, the ultimate of the situation was that the individual involved was the one found to be in violation. This same individual opposed us in our operation for Christian Video, which is a closed-circuit cable network. The authorities came at their request. The ultimatum of this was, and still is, that they are in violation of FCC rules. The declaration of protest at this point is that we are going to create problems with noise and pollution, and that the things that we are doing, whether it be religious or otherwise, are very disturbing to them. The question I want to ask is, can a person who speeds up and down the road, continually breaking the law by running through the school zone without any respect for the lives of the little ones, a person who would openly defy God by stopping in front of the church, emptying their ashtrays and throwing beer cans along the road, a person that has become a busybody in other men's affairs, a person who is in violation of federal laws to the extent that they have come on this campground with their obscene dressing and their arrogant spirit, a person who, by means of their radio, is in violation of the FCC rules, a person who is continually gossiping and accusing the residents of the campground by means of their communications, to the extent that our own people and neighbors have had to reprove them of their wrongs, inasmuch as even the state authorities have informed us of their unreasonable complaints and that they were not able to receive any strength at all toward their objective. Therefore, my question remains, can a person who claims to be concerned with the welfare of humanity in the community actually retain fidelity under such circumstances or actions? I want to know how should I feel, or how should the public react towards such things or prevailing circumstances that have become overwhelming? The Bible teaches that if we bid anything Godspeed, then we are partakers of the evil. Therefore, it is very obvious that should any men of counsel with understanding take means and measures to justify such a reproach to Christ and humanity, they would then be altogether guilty before God. I would like for you to take further notice concerning the noise situation. Is their complaint just in the light of the following facts? That is to say, they have received motorcycle gangs in the wee hours of the morning. I myself have counted from 5 to 7 motorcycles coming in at one time. The awful roar at that time of the morning can become terrifying when one is suddenly awakened from their sleep. I might make mention of the fact that these things can be proven. If pollution is the problem, then we need to close the city airport. If airplanes flying overhead are the problem, or if they are endangering the public, then the first sober approach to the situation would be to eliminate the gliders which fly overhead. If the issue concerns the power lines and the interest is truly for the people, then why was this situation permitted to continue when one of the gliders was forced down at the power plant just outside our property? How is it that crop dusters, who have all but startled our people with low-range flying as they speed their motors to keep from crashing, how is it that they are over the school route continually, as well as almost running into the electrical lines, and yet there is no objection? If it's a matter of pollution, then their sprays are flying everywhere. If the problem is a private airstrip, why is it that Walton County has, in the past, made allowance, and is still allowing a number of private airstrips to exist? People have protested them, and there have been some crashes, partly because of improper landings where some of the airstrips have no payment at all. If it is a matter of protest from the people, let's consider the recent highway, US 78, that was just put through. They forcibly overruled the people. For the sake of humanity, they supposedly did this. But for a mercy mission and God's sake, we have made a request that in every way is godly and reasonable, a request that I sincerely believe would be granted if we pursued the matter to Washington. It is a true fact that our petitions in the past have always been granted when Washington became involved. We have been a governmental establishment for years, and that without reproach, with the exception of the foolishness of some publications that have sought to discredit what we're doing for God, for some seek to tear down and destroy rather than establish truth. I thank God for the fact that not all of the broadcasts from radio and television are polluted, and I thank God that there are still some news publications that can be relied upon in that they still publish truth. There are still, at this time, men of integrity in the world that are seeking truth, rather than the popularity and praise of ignorant men. There is little doubt in my mind what the results would be. We must remember one thing. If we fail to be real, true gentlemen, then we become ecclesiastical by means of arrogancy, or we become boycotting to the point of discrimination, whether religiously or otherwise. Let me inform you that such matters can and have been dealt with on a higher level of law and authority. Now, perhaps this is shocking to you, but as a proof of our integrity and concern about the community, we're going to withdraw our request. It is not because of a signed petition, for we have petitions already signed that greatly excel this person's petitions. It seems reasonable to me that if a voice of protest is to be valid, it should at least be those that are in the immediate vicinity. If there are going to be restrictions, either by zoning purposes or permits, then let those that are involved be present for protest, either by voice or signature, having a representative who is there on their behalf to present their cause. Let the others remain silent. Let them judge the cause. We do not fear the opposition, for we have a promise of God for a new government and a day of peace, where God himself, through the use of human instrumentality, will beat the swords into plowshares, Isaiah 2 and 4. We are withdrawing our petition for the sake of community dispute, in that men with corrupt minds have taken up opposition. This will also relieve the counselors, in that they could very easily sin against God and bring his wrath upon them and their families. We are also withdrawing our petition for the sake of those that are ignorant and unlearned toward our Christian operation, in that they have been greatly misinformed. We care for humanity. I have been to God in prayer, and he has shown me another method by means of the use of the city airport and another mode of air travel here at our own property. It will work fine with no reason for public objection. The Lord has let me know that if there is any interruption with this, his mercy mission, as we continue our endeavors, that when he deals with those doing the interrupting, all will know and fear, for he tells us in the scriptures, "Touch not mine anointed, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. I will trouble them that trouble you. I will put the fear of you upon all the inhabitants of the land, and they will be afraid of you, God's people, because you are called by my name." Let me relate three different instances. Concerning each occasion, I want you to take notice to what happened to these individuals. One individual, healthy so far as we know, took up words as an issue against this operation and against this ministry. He had no association with us nor any reason for grievances. The medical profession had to cut his tongue out. Another one, they had to take his voice box out. Another one, they suddenly found a blood clot on his brain. We could go on and on, making mention of people who are dead, calamities of all kinds having befell them in that they have reproached Christ and his work. We don't wish ill effects to anyone, because our mission in life is mercy. But as a spokesman for God Almighty, we are commanded of God as it was in the days of Moses, when it was said that if so much as a hair touches a mountain, it shall be thrust through. And the sight was so exceedingly terrible that Moses stated, "I do exceedingly fear and tremble." The Bible says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. I marvel at how easily Satan deceives intelligent people, and even people of integrity. A reporter that reports for an Atlanta station deceitfully came to do a story on Little Bethlehem. Satan took full advantage of this. The Bible says that Satan humbles himself. Wicked men have crept in unawares to spy out our liberties, the Bible also tells us. The results of the visit was that we were numbered with a showing of what they referred to as cults. Because of religious discrimination, federal charges could be brought against certain news medias for false documentations, and charges could be brought against authorities and persons in our neighboring area who have violated the Constitution of the United States by boycotting and misrepresentation, but I have refrained from doing it because of mercy. Who is one individual that he should be able to program hundreds and thousands of minds to the extent that they would brand a thing a cult? This deceives multitudes because of their ignorance in God's Word. What person among you, if he were buying an automobile, would accept a statement from one individual concerning the deficiency of that automobile, especially if it was known to the public that the individual was a critic and was discriminating against the company that was selling the automobile? Then, as we would say, last but not least in our thinking, the man knew nothing about the automobile or automobiles in general. Folks, that would be poor reasoning on anyone's part, and most assuredly the lack of wisdom, if they should listen to such a thing without finding out for themselves. But in our day we find thousands and millions of people that are being deceived by listening to an individual and not finding out for themselves the real truth of a matter. I dare say that the individual doesn't even know what the word cult means, and I would also add the people that are using it in conversation against the things of God don't know either. The word cult refers to that which deviates from the Word of God. In giving an intellectual definition for the word cult, it is given as a system of worship or as the rites of a religion. In addition, it is given as great devotion to some person, idea, or thing, with such devotion viewed as an intellectual fad, whereas our devotion is to a thing. The Bible said, concerning the birth of Jesus, "that holy thing which shall be born of thee." That is to say, we worship the only begotten Son of God, who is full of grace and truth. The word God means object of worship. Therefore, without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus Christ is very God, for there is not given among men any other true object of worship aside from the body and spirit of Christ Jesus himself. The Bible teaches that God was manifest in the flesh. The book of St. John, chapter 4 and verse 24, gives God as a spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, was most assuredly the human tabernacle of the Heavenly Father. This is the mystery concerning godliness that Paul spoke of. This is also why Jesus used the terms, I and my Father are one. We are told in 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 through 8, Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. We're told in Genesis 1 and 1, In the beginning God created the heaven and earth. We're told in the Gospel according to John, in the first chapter and first verse, In the beginning was the Word. Tie these together. Look at the third verse. All things were made by Him. Him is God, or Jesus Christ. The ninth verse tells us that He was the true light. The tenth verse says that He was the creator of the world, yet the world did not recognize Him. The 11th verse says that the world did not receive Him. The 13th verse says that He was not born of blood nor the will of man. The 14th verse says that He says that the Word was made flesh. If the emphasis from God is upon the Word, then to worship, to honor, to obey, and to conform to the Word of the living God is real, true Christianity. We've just recently convinced a Catholic priest with 27 years of ministry and tutoring. He was baptized in the lovely name of Jesus for the remission of sins and made the statement, To my sad regret, I have for many years, in my ignorance of the Holy Scriptures, misled multitudes of people. But from here out, I shall seek to correct the error of my way. Now, beloved friends, in the light of these scriptural references, intellectual definements, confessions, and experiences, who then is the culprit? Or what religious sect now is found to be the cult? It is obviously clear that anyone deviating from the truth of God's word is a cult, and I might add that there are many false prophets and false religions in the world today. On many occasions, people make reference towards certain religious groups. They use the terms commune, which is not a degraded term of expression, but inasmuch as some people congregate for base purposes, and the word commune has been used for an application in describing these people, it sometimes reproaches real, true God people. The word commune, intellectually defined, is given as commonality, common people, various bodies that form a unit, or perhaps peasantry, people sharing common rights and properties in general in a village or community, the inhabitants or government that forms a similar district, a derivative from the word communion, referring to all things common, or being used in a discolorful manner, it can be branded as an insurrectional act. If we should approach the situation from the perspective of an insurrectionary governmental act, then let's look at where we as individuals stand. Under such terms and applications, I render a voice, a vocabulary utterance from the aspect not only of human rights according to the Constitution of the United States, but also a constituted proclamation which is very definitely and soundly founded upon the Holy Scriptures. Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, wherein the Bible declares that the government shall be upon his shoulders, and that he shall reign forever and ever. Concerning the increase of his kingdom, to it there shall be no end. In the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15, it says that at the sounding of the angel, or last trumpet, that the kingdoms of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It says in verses 17 and 18, that though the nations were angry, the Lord still received his power to reign. In Revelation 19:6, he's called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Revelation 20 and 3, we're told that he reigns over the nations for 1,000 years. Revelation 20 and 4 says that we shall reign with him if we refuse the mark of the beast. In Revelation 21 and 1, we are told that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, bringing in a new regime for the eternal reign of Christ. In Isaiah 9 and 6, we are told that the government shall be upon his shoulders, for he is the mighty God and the Prince of Peace. We refer to our teachings, in many instances, as the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation means that which is revealed. The Latin word revelatio and the Greek word apokalupsis, from which the English word apocalypse is derived, means previously hidden or unknown. Paul refers to the revelation of Jesus Christ in his teachings. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 1, John calls it the revelation of Jesus Christ. Once again, in the light of these spiritual and natural definitions, what then is a commune? It is obviously seen, once again, that if it is from the viewpoint of insurrection, then the entire system of mankind, which is controlled by Lucifer and is stimulated by worldly frolics, shall be brought into judgment at the time of the convening of the supreme courts of God. Anyone that is contrary to the government of Jesus Christ is and should be branded by that which is discolorful. God referred to them as beasts, and some of them brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. His anger shall wax hot against the colleagues of such bodily functionings. In concluding my thoughts concerning this, we're told that the house of the Lord shall be established, and that all nations shall flow unto it, saying, Teach us of your ways, a millennium reference, whereas we are told that all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell, thus saying, Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. There is no way to pay your way out, for the Scriptures tell us that the offering of the wicked is abomination in God's sight, and that their prayers are an abomination. There is no peace to the wicked. Like the troubled waters, their mire is ever cast upon the shore as the restless billows of the deep bring it forth. I will pursue the wicked, God said, until they perish from off the face of the earth. I will establish truth and justice, and the righteous and meek shall inherit the earth. While the knowledge of the Lord fills the heavens and the earth, nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. An eternal regime of peace and godly order for those who love his appearing. The only true church that Jesus Christ ever established is that which is recorded in the second chapter of the book of Acts. This proves that almost all bodies of religion that are in existence today are cults. Most everyone by now is familiar with the episode of Jim Jones and how that during that crucial event it reflected the churches and that Satan connivingly sought advantage to stamp out the true church and the operation of Christ. The humiliation that the true children of God suffered is without words of expression. Such a horrible situation as the Jim Jones happening is the thing that every true minister of God would abhor. This vicious attack was made upon the godly and governmental religious activity of bodily functionings. And this attack is disgraceful in the sight of God and shall be severely punished and dealt with in the day of judgment. Anyone that truly understands justice and liberty will cherish them with all their heart and will defend them to no end and will be ever willing to eradicate the evil infestation by the removal of dominating and cruel men in office. Columbus, in 1492, discovered a new world. This gave opportunity for a new government, since the government of the old country had become corrupt. In 1775, the Continental Congress convened, and a man by the name of George Washington was elected to the office of Commander-in-Chief of the United States Army. After having successfully performed the duties that brought peace to his people, in 1789, he was elected to the office of President of the United States, and continued until 1797. In so doing this, he established one of the greatest governments that the world has ever known. Just prior to this, in 1752, the Great Liberty Bell arrived from England and found a place among the people. A great huge bell of about 2,000 pounds, it had these words inscribed upon it, Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Thus, a great nation, solidly founded upon the Word of God, sprang out of nowhere, as one would say. In 1607, there came forth the Jamestown Experience, and in 1620, the Mayflower landed at Plymouth, Massachusetts. In between 1607 and 1620, in 1611, the King James Version of the Bible came into view. Mankind now has in his possession 212 unseals, and perhaps more, with at least 2,429 cursive manuscripts, which appear to belong to the age 400 to 450 A.D. The three oldest are the Alexandrian, Sinaitic, and the Vatican. I have personally viewed the scrolls of the Essenes, and I have also seen the caves from which these scrolls were taken. Although these be ever so precious as a treasure to mankind, yet the real treasure continues to be the authorized King James Version of the Bible, that which God has so carefully watched over, which was given to us in 1611. Then came forth the Liberty Bell, and a great nation was born. It was in 1776 that men like John Adams, John Hancock, Benjamin Franklin, and other noted men of like conviction met in the old State House in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They brought forth the Declaration of Independence that Thomas Jefferson later put into writings for the benefit of the people. About 2 years later, the Constitution was presented, and within a few years, America received her first Bill of Rights. There has been much blood spilled on the battlefield in an effort to preserve these liberties. At this present moment, our national and international liberties are being threatened, and the entire world is in jeopardy. In disregard to the Constitution, a 32-page listing incorporating nearly 2,000 words has provided a bureaucratic means for dictatorship, For it is stated that the president and his appointees, in the time which is termed an emergency, will have the power immediately to take over communication and medias, seize all forms of power, take charge over all food resources, seize all forms of transportation, control all highways and seaports, seize all railroads, inland waterways, airports, and storage facilities, commandeer all citizens to work under federal supervision, control all activities that pertain to health, education, and welfare, shift any segment of the population from one locality to another, take over farms, ranches, and timberland properties, regulate the amount of your money that you may withdraw from your bank savings account, and many other things they have reserved to themselves through this 32-page listing. If the gold reserve has shrunk from $28 billion to less than $10 billion in 25 years, we understand why the President Kennedy told representatives from 102 nations at the International Fund Conference that there was a need for redistribution of the financial resources of the world. Through the computerized system of numerical order, we see how, so easily at this time of life, the beast system could be easily brought in. When we consider these things, we can see that we are living in a great hour, and the need is for unionized brotherhood. Science predictions of great calamities, we are told, are about to bring about a devastating blow to our universe. The science of astronomy, that supposedly got its start 2,000 years ago down in Babylon, seems at this time to be more understood and sought after than ever before. The scriptures tell us that the stars are set for times and seasons. Whether true or false, and Paul did make the statement, science falsely so called, in that the word relates back to human intellectual reasoning, yet whether true or false, the theory of nebular hypothesis still remains preeminent in the minds of the people. Whether or not the nebular mass is responsible for our planets that supposedly brought in our human world, whether true or false, our Earth is believed to be about 4.5 billion years old. This is yet to be proven, but there is one thing that is for sure, and that is it came from somewhere, and we are enjoying life on the planetary surface. As long as man inhabits the Earth, they will have need of a system that will provide them sovereignty, that can afford peace of mind and a place of rest. This peace and rest has not been found as of yet through all of the scientific research, nor has it been proven that it is concealed within the chemistry of the blood. Wealth and monetary values have never brought it to anyone. But it is a true fact that thousands and even millions of people testify of peace when they are born of the Spirit of God. Folks, we don't need an imitation. We want the real thing. The Bible says it will be so close that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. You may have something, and it may not be what you think it to be at all. For instance, look at the number 1,000,000. There we have $1,000,000. Rearrange the same numbers as 0,000,001. Then when you examine it again, you see that a person can so easily be fooled because they have misused or misconstrued by improper evaluation those things that were committed to their trust. We are told that every 7/10 of a second someone dies, and every 1/4 of a second someone is born into the world. If at the rate of 125,000 people a day die, and 345,000 people are born, just stop and think of the tremendous responsibility we as leaders have toward humanity. Let us remember that we must cherish our liberties. As pertaining to human ethics and human behavior, we need to consider the fact that the Constitution of the United States provides, through its Bill of Rights, an equality for all mankind. Even though in 1778, when the Constitution was first given, at that time it held no Bill of Rights, but in 1791 the Bill of Rights was presented, and it was added by the first Congress after Washington's inauguration. There were 12 amendments presented to Congress, and 10 of them received the necessary votes to become the Bill of Rights. So then, our Declaration of Independence is that all men are created equal. The five basic freedoms are as follows. The First Amendment declares, in Article 4 of the Laws of the Constitution of the United States, Section 2, the First Amendment declares that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. In order to retain freedom of speech and press, we must remember that free government is possible only where the citizens are free to discuss the problem and their leaders, and to publish their opinions if they so desire. The exercise of these rights not only serves as a desirable check on the political party in power, but it tends to keep the public well informed as to what is going on. Through the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press, credit can be given where credit is due, and blame can be placed where blame is due. So then, the five basic freedoms of established freedom and liberties are: 1. Freedom of the press. 2. Freedom of religion. 3. Freedom of speech. 4. Freedom of assembly. 5. Freedom of petition. The constitutional preamble reads as follows: We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Article 1, Legislative Department, Section 1, Congress. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. Bill of Rights Amendments 1 through 20, 1791. Amendment 1, Freedom of Religion, Speech, Press, Assembly, and Petition. Amendment 4, Protection Against Search and Seizure. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 7, Suits at Common Law. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8, Bail, Fines, and Punishment. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishment inflicted. Amendment 9, Rights Retained by the People. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10, Power Reserved to the States or the People. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the States, are reserved to the States respectively or to the people. Amendment 14, Citizenship, Representation, Public Debts. Section 1, Nation and State Citizenships. All persons born or naturalized in the United States, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. The Declaration of Independence, a declaration by the representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled July 4, 1776. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which would impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light in transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that all mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpation, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them unto absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The Bible tells us to prove all things and then hold fast to that which is good. I challenge any man or woman in the world, in any religious walk of life, to prove otherwise, and to prove that the doctrine of Christ that we teach is wrong. People have lied against some of our people in branding them as thieves, but the law itself stated, "We have never found any of your people like that, and until we do, we won't accept it or believe it." I have never answered my critics back, nor have I taken up an issue with them at any time, but the Bible says that there are some mouths that need to be stopped, and that the unruly tongue shall be rooted out. These people go about subverting whole households. The Bible calls them busybodies in other men's matters. The airstrip, through a boycott, which was the result of a meeting held out of our presence, was denied us, whereas we had already agreed among ourselves to cancel out for the sake of the people. It might be of interest for the ones that caused the error to know that although they contacted Washington, we can still have the airstrip, for we also contacted Washington. Let me say at this point that I thank God for people who still hold integrity, and I thank God for people who will not willfully blind themselves for a selfish cause, those who are still concerned with the cause of humanity, peace, and wholesome living. Our prayer is that the peace of God be upon all of you, but let me remind you again that there is no peace to the wicked. I would like to conclude by saying this: God is love, very merciful, showing mercy to children's children unto a thousand generations. But let us beware should we live in hypocrisy, abusing our neighbors or misrepresenting a cause. Love worketh no ill to its neighbor. God is a God of judgment. The Bible tells us that he rules in men's affairs. Beware, lest you desire, as Nebuchadnezzar, to be turned out with the brute beasts of this world, in that God will reject you from being children of the kingdom. Then I say again, beware. The Bible says to pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that are coming upon the earth. The Lord's coming is near at hand, and he will reward every man according as to what his work shall be. With deep reverence and respect, George L. Pike.
And we as a body of people have the same privilege to legislate after that manner and to call their hand and bring them back to the legislative articles of law. And that it is not just for their protection, even though they have in the past, that is Satan, the people, took it and used it upon the people that are ignorant. But now the people that was one time ignorant are coming to the place to where they understand, and especially the church people. The church people have went through the fire, and God has let them be pressed in every way so as to cleanse themselves, purify themselves, and conform to the law in every way, forced them to conform to the law, so that in the day when he revealed the real truth of the matter and reversed the things, that they cannot touch us with the law. But we can take that same law and just tear them to pieces. As the Bible said, break into shivers. Because they are in transgression and violation of it in every way. They have not been processed to keep them clean. So then they are really in trouble. The saints will rise and take the kingdoms of this world, and they'll become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, now that he might reign forever and ever. For instance, when we consider the Constitution of the United States, we consider the amendment, which is our protection of liberties, rights. When we consider it, we find that in the 18th Amendment, that in the originality of the Constitution, it was that whiskey, intoxicating drinks, or anything that was intoxicating was prohibited, and that as a national thing. They were not allowed importation. They were not allowed any means of transportation for it. They were not allowed to manufacture it. They were not allowed to sell it. That was our Constitution. It wasn't but about 14 years later, 1933, in that the prohibition was passed upon in 1919. Then about 1933, which is about 14 years later, they repealed it in the 21st Amendment. And then they came in and they said that the prohibition was only when the people that imported whiskey violated the laws of the United States, that is, in the sense of the protective rights of them that wanted to drink. So you can see by that, through what they call their modifying or modifications, how that they have easily slipped in and changed the thing. Wherein, you heard the Declaration of Independence. It was wrote in 76. And it states very clearly that no body of people, no one should have the right to come in and in a light manner change the articles of the faith of the forefathers to the extent of constitutional amendments. Now, yet they have done it, just ease in and slimy like an eel or with an old seducing spirit, they have done it. But people, there's one thing for sure. If those things are contested in court, they'll have to break down. They'll have to break down because it is still the constitutional rights of the people, and there was no real genuine change that was approved by any means of ratification except the Confederate part. In the Confederation of the United States, it was changed. When Washington came into office and the First Continental Congress met, it was changed. There was a change from the Confederacy. That is, to this extent, when they had their meeting, the meeting that they call the constitutional meeting, they had that constitutional meeting, and it was for the purpose of changing it. And in 1787, they did change it. But that lasted over the period of about 3 years for this change to 1789. Once it was brought into a ratification by the people, after that, there is no real proof of substantiation to any change of the Constitution of the United States. That is to say, there is nothing that can substantiate any act that they have taken in seizing upon the Constitution if we look at it according to the Declaration of Independence that was established in 76. So then it is a positive proof, or this is a positive proof, that the saints of God actually can rise and take the kingdoms of this world and possess it forever and ever. And that which appears to be celebrities and governmental rulers will have to back off and give it up when the truth is presented. Now, it was set up as a democratic republic relation. Whereas they got it all split up and crossed up. And I feel that we here who are called for this purpose, even the meeting in New Jersey has to do with it, because this is where it took place. We that are called for this purpose here at Bethlehem should, as the Bible said, walk circumspectly before the people to be without fault to where we can bring in the early American way of life. Now, it was no little thing to me or coincidence that Brother Carnes should go over into Philadelphia to publish this by TV. Because when the Liberty Bell came, it came there to Philadelphia. And in the old Philadelphia, or Pennsylvania State House, there where the Constitution of the United States was originally drawn up, there is where this thing was drawn up and taken from there or established there as an archive for the protection of this writing called the Constitution. Not far from there is Valley Forge, and in that it is the Philadelphia area. Then that perfectly brings us back to the root or the origin of where this thing started in the New World that was so called then, which is now the Old World, as Bethlehem and this form of government in the restoration of the New World comes in. Even the Jamestown experience, that is also to be seen nearby. The landing of the Mayflower, and there where they made the Mayflower Compact. Now, what I'm saying is this, that he took that to Philadelphia, right to the very place where the seed was before planted and now is to be replanted by this little thing that comes from Mount Vernon, here where we live, to be established again in its originality, to reflect that back at the little White House, or to go back to that of Roosevelt and that of Washington. Now, there's a lot of things that we could say and go on and on and on in this, but to say the least, it is the divine providence of the Almighty God, the ship as it is all of a sudden coming out into the new world of the landing of Noah's Ark, and the many multiplied things that at this time comes together in detail to form this great, beautiful portrait of what God is projecting to the human mind. This is something that, to me, is just baffling other than in the mind of Christ and absolutely unbelievable. It is so far beyond the comprehension of mortal man till there is no way to for vocabulary utterance to describe it. Now, so then you see at this moment the responsibility that we've got here. I as a pastor, you as a people, not only to the God cause of establishing the kingdom of God in the earth, but to the governmental functioning of humanity to restore liberties and rights, which of course will, extensively speaking, be brought out in the regime of Jesus sitting upon the throne of David as he establishes the proper government. And that is exactly what he will do, and that is exactly what you're doing. And this is the real Constitution right here, in this right here. And all God did was allow forefathers to establish godly rights and principles on this absolute or the foundation for human rights. That makes it so, as I've told the brethren in the past, that at any time that we are willing to rise up and take the kingdom, we already have the constitutional rights to our benefit and favor, in that this is the root of the entire matter. God so planted the tree to where it would grow in our favor. And though others have taken the vineyard, the Bible said they have brought forth no fruit, and God is ready to take it from them that we might bring forth to his satisfaction fruits to perfection, as he called it. In that Israel was one time holiness unto the Lord. The Bible said Israel was at one time holiness unto the Lord. Now little Bethlehem and the true church of the living God is holiness unto the Lord. In the millennium of the government that will be established, even the pots and pans, the horses' bridles, will have holiness unto the Lord. For God is the spirit of holiness, and without holiness no man shall see the Lord. As our brother Karin said, you know, they draw back from holiness because they are beast. They are beast. They have a religious air about them like Cain did, but they don't have salvation. All right, we're going to close. There was enough scripture in this that Chuck wrote or read to you. that should be a good sermon for this morning. And since it was a little lengthy in its reading, then we're going to close. We've got to get together with Chuck, Brother Taylor, and some of them and finish this article. And over in the evening, I hope to be able to finish it. Finish this article and get it ready for the paper. Tonight, maybe if the Lord is willing, when we come together and we have a chance to talk with you, that we'll talk with you concerning some spiritual things and perhaps tie some spiritual things together with some natural things. If you're not too tired and weary, depending on the spiritual atmosphere that I feel. And if so, then we'll tie some things together, showing you that God, who is the 1, 2, 3, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, has thus created in such manner in a 1, 2, 3, that all of the 1, 2, 3 of all of the universe has to compact itself together and come together for one thing, and that is for the pleasure of God, who created it for his own pleasure, and for the benefit of his children, which are heirs of the kingdom and all things that God created. So you'll find out that the world belongs to you, all things are yours. You'll find out it doesn't belong to those people. They're squatters, and they're thieves, and they're robbers. Satan stole it and gave it to his crowd. God's going to take it back. The abstract is at hand. We're going to run the abstract, and we're going to go back to the originality of it, and we're going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are the rightful heirs, and let the squatters get off of the land and possess our land. Go into Canaan. We're going over the Jordan, that old carnal mind of death out there that's been our opposition, that has mistreated us in every way because of our ignorance or being children, being under the tutors and not being in sonship. We're going over that evil Jordan, that old crooked serpentine course of the Jordan that empties into the Dead Sea. We're going to get over it, and we're going to take our inheritance as rightful heirs. All right, I want you to stand with me. I want you to pray with me from time to time. I only speak to you as a child of God. In the world, there's what you call a know-all, and in the world, there's what you call a know-nothing, and I'm a know-nothing. But there's one thing I understand of God, and that is that we are heirs to the kingdom. And whatever this book outlines is his promise. And they say there's about 32,000 of them given to us, and I intend to take full benefit. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing this little chorus together as we worship the Lord. We come here for one purpose, that's to love Jesus. Now, I am trying in the best way that I know how to tell you who you are and what you are and the benefits, to reveal to you the benefits of an eternal security, that which God has given to you. It's in your behalf. I'm trying my best to program your mind as sons and daughters of God to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, so that you will have God conduct and won't have to be chased of the Lord, where you shine as a light in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, to where they can't say any evil thing against you, and to where you can have full control and benefit of that which belongs to you. This is what I'm trying to do. Paul said we're set for the perfecting of your faith. And when we come together, and I talk with you and I try to reason with you, I come for one purpose. That is to remind you that all of the glory belongs to God and to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So then let's sing this song that we sing so often. We'll give the glory to Jesus. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.